are all up pretty late, including our in-studio co-host, Elliot Serrano. And we haven't turned his microphone on yet. We don't know if we want to hear from him. You can turn
no, you
your
don't
mic want to
hear
Elliot.
From me. No.
I do want to hear from you, Elliot. And we have on the line with us our good friend and favorite for the Pretty Late Show, State Senator Dan Katowski, who is now the CEO of ChildServe. And if you go to his Facebook page, Dan Katowski, you can find out how you can help. One of the group homes that he is is responsible for now, I would say, is the best way to put it. You're responsible for the well-being of so many people now.
There's a lot of people who are saying it's about time I was responsible for.
Be responsible for the well-being.
But hey, we got great news that happened this week. There's this local company, Scott Mattress Firm. They're all over the place. I went there because they had a pajama drive for for children who are in foster care, and customers were bringing in new pajamas, and they said, I was talking about mattresses, and they said, do you have any needs for mattresses? I said, yeah, actually we have 18 beds that need to be replaced, and they said, huh, let us check on it. And named Rachel Burr from Mattress Firm, they checked on it. They provided our group homes for children who are in foster care ages 13 to 18, they provide us with 18 brand new mattresses.
Oh, so congratulations.
Terrific, yeah.
That's Mattress Firm?
Yeah, Mattress Firm. So they're wonderful. They've been such a great corporate citizen and a great community partner for us, and for most important for kids who are at risk. First for the pajama drive, now this. And, they dropped off. I was there when they dropped off mattresses in Naperville at one of our homes, and then they went to Lyle, and they went to Downers Grove, and they've really stepped up in a very, very big way. And it's important for the young people in our care that they feel, not like I talked to you before, not safe, secure, and comfortable, but they're able to rest and sleep well, and be able to have every opportunity to achieve their potential. So it's very exciting.
They're going through such a terrifying situation to know that when they go to, go to rest and relax, close their eyes, they have one less thing to worry about at bedtime. So congratulations and thank you so much to Mattress Firm. And beyond that, there's a way for our listeners to help at one of the group homes for young girls, clean up the house, rip out the floor, put in new flooring. You can go to GoFundMe.com and look for ChildServe. And what is the exact, what's the best way? Do they look for you? Because I have it posted on my Facebook page. And I know that it is for ChildServe group home.
Yeah, search
right?
It's under ChildServe. Yeah, it's under a new floor, the group home for new floor. Just search for ChildServe, and we'll find it. And that's a post that we have right now. And raised just in a couple of weeks of about $1,000. We need about 4,500 more, but we're making progress every day. But so many people have been generous, including the terrific woman that I'm talking to on the on the radio right now.
Well, the thing is that we always wonder, why doesn't anyone take care of this? Well, we can. There's so much that's going wrong right now. There's a way to do something right. So I appreciate the hard work that you're doing. And it's ChildServe, ChildServe. And why do you leave the E off?
Because the work isn't done yet.
A lot
of, a lot of work to be done. That's my Rogers Park way of saying it. The work's not done yet. You got more work to do.
Well, I missed you so much last week when I was in Springfield. I don't know what it's like for you now. For 9 years, you were down there for every legislative session, getting in there, rolling up your sleeves, working hard for your constituents, for the citizens of Illinois. And by the way, are you going to still, even though you're not serving as senator, are you going to try to roll in for Barack Obama's address to the General Assembly?
I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. I have a lot that I have going on next week. I would love to see him speak, and I think he's exactly what people in Springfield need to hear his message. And, I think just the fact that he's coming down there, I think gives a lot of people hope that maybe something will get done. The President of the United States has an awful lot of credibility here in Illinois as well as throughout the rest of the country. So I think it's so exciting and thrilling. And unfortunately, I have commitments to my job that I just can't get away from. But I was there when he made his announcement in Springfield. Mm-hmm. I was there when he accepted the nomination in Denver, and I was there when he was sworn in Washington, D.C., as well as knocking on doors for him in Dubuque when he first ran in 2008. So you
served briefly with him in the, because it would only have been about a year or at all. Was there any crossover?
No, we never, no crossover, no overlap.
No overlap. Interesting. Well,
yeah,
you just mentioned
last time I saw him on like it was, he came into Chicago. It was the day that Mark Burley threw his perfect game. And I hadn't seen him for a couple of years. And he, yeah, my head was completely shaved. He's like, what happened to your hair? And I was like, if the Republicans took it, that's all I can say. You know? But it was, we were laughing, but he was, it was good to see him. I'm happy that he's coming back to Illinois and that he's going to come speak to the General Assembly. So it's been an exciting week. We're talking to you about exciting week for politics, exciting week in the country. I mean, the Iowa caucus. I've been there before, and it is while, you know, Iowa people are so nice and kind, and it's, you know, they're really, it's really an extraordinary, but it's not the most, it's an understatement, not the most diverse state, right?
Uh-huh.
But it is.
thank you.
But I'm telling you, the experience is just wild and interesting. And I remember being at a school and for the caucus on the night that President Obama, then when he was a candidate, won. And it was just so wild to be there. It was just packed, and everybody from the community was participating. It was really thrilling. I think it just represents the best of America, you know, people participating in the electoral process, right?
And I agree. I get very excited when I get to vote. My husband hates this time of year because I make him dress as a precinct captain. And then as we get closer, I make him dress as an election judge, and he has to be a little cranky and bring me a box of donuts. But I do. I get very excited about the electoral process. I think that having your voice, I mean, look, as a woman, you know, people are starting to put memes up. And as a woman, I am very devoted to exercising my right to vote, to voicing my opinion and my thoughts. And we don't have to agree, as long as we don't yell at each other and it doesn't get, I know it gets ugly. Politics get ugly. I've seen now how you guys debate down in Springfield. I can only imagine what it's like in D.C., but this is, you know, you have to be, it's like a lottery. You gotta be in it to win it. And, you know, but it shouldn't be like a lottery. It should just be something that people feel compelled to do, which is get in there and be heard, which is why I keep going to Springfield, which is why I watch these elections. What were your thoughts as the numbers were coming in from Iowa? Because I didn't realize it was going to be that close between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, first of all. Did you?
Oh, I thought it would be. Yeah, I thought it would be. And I, you know, I think it's interesting on both sides of the political aisle. I thought it's exciting. See, I look at these. We were just talking about this as presidential races that, you know, someone can, you know, when you look, can come out of just like seemingly out of nowhere or in a position that has never been to be able to be eligible to run for president or in the position to run and possibly win. And I think it's so exciting for. You know, people support Hillary Clinton. I represented Park Ridge for years. She grew up here. She went to school here. She's from Illinois, and I think it's exciting. I thought she gave a great speech. I thought Bernie Sanders gave a great speech. I thought he was. He had a lot of emotion, a lot of passion. I thought so did she. And I think, you know, I thought there was a. She carried with her a strong air of confidence. In her presentation, and I just, you know, I was telling my wife, like, the way she turned her body and faced the screen was almost like the way George Bailey, when he turned his body to Mr. Potter in It's a Wonderful Life. She just did that body turn. It was something she added, and I like to watch it. I think, you know, this running for office, I was telling my son that, and he was like, my son didn't want Donald Trump to win, and he was jubilant that he did. And I said, look, and I said, it takes a lot of courage to run for office, whether you agree or disagree with the person's position. To run for office, you put yourself out there. I don't care if you're a billionaire or if you're poor or if you're of moderate income. Just to run for office takes a lot of courage and put yourself out there. Now, you know, I may disagree with a lot of the positions that Donald Trump has, but I said, you know, I just wanted him to know that. I said, you know, if I ran the first time, and I barely won by 1,400 votes, I said, but if I lost, you know, I would hope that, you know, there are people out there saying, well, you know what, you know, he lost, he put himself out there, he tried his best. And I said, we listened to everybody's speech. We listened to Donald Trump's speech. We listened to Marco Rubio's speech. We listened to Ted Cruz's speech. I mean, this is the thing about that night. People who are on both sides of the aisle, you get a chance to hear them. You get a chance to hear their vision. And you also get a chance to hear how people handle themselves in defeat and whether they can be statesmen or stateswomen, right?
Right. Well, let's talk about that. Let's take a quick break because I want to talk about that, too, because I thought that the speeches were very interesting, as you just mentioned, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton's speeches. Let's talk a little bit about the other side, as you were also describing Donald Trump's campaign, because I a lot of people are listening going, nobody's that nice. Senator Gutowski's out of his mind. Here's a campaign that's filled with vitriol. I mean, Elliot's laughing because it's almost too gracious. And you know, I don't know if it's your time away from the Senate in Illinois that has made you given you perspective, but I suspect you're always like this and it's a little disgusting. More with State Senator Dan Gutowski and Elliot Serrano when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. We are all up pretty late, live in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. We have our co-host, Elliot Serrano, holding down the fort, and I am in our Allstate Showcase studios west in Los Angeles getting some work done. And as he joins us every week, State Senator Dan Gutowski is on the line, now the CEO of ChildServe. Go to our Facebook pose. You can go to our Facebook pose, to our page, and contribute to the GoFundMe campaign that he has for a group home for girls who are trying to be somewhere safe and take care of the environment that they're living in, so they can get on with their lives and feel protected. Senator Gutowski, you've been through this process of going through primaries and through elections and polling and all of those things. So as you watch the speeches, what were your thoughts as Marco Rubio had a victorious third place speech?
First of all, I was thinking about what you said before. It's like, I wanted to just note something. I thought it's very important for my kids that I take this time for these teachable moments, because there's so much vitriol and there's hate and there's so much disrespect in politics nowadays. That's important that they note those particular things, where I was like, look, when someone runs, you know, just to point out that it takes a certain amount of courage to do it. Now, that being said, it is interesting the decisions that people make. And I will say that I thought Trump's speech was horrific. I thought it was disrespectful.
It was the one speech that just seemed like a conversation. Like, it was all, I don't even know how to describe it, except for, I mean, he's a narcissist, and that was
I don't give a hell who it is or what it is. Where it's like, you know what? I think this notion there's this whole notion that it's okay to not have a filter and to say whatever the heck is on your mind. And quite frankly, it's not okay. It's better to be thinking. Now, it's a difference between saying that, like, having to, like, to be stifling your true point of view and your true perspective because you don't have that, you're not authentic. But the thing is, you know, it's really okay to be thinking before you say anything. And it really is important.
It's actually encouraged in many places.
Yeah, to be respectful. Like, there are people who I looked and I admired so much who were state senators, and Kirk Dillard was one of them. He was just a great statesman. And he'd get up and he would give these terrific speeches when things got, like, too shrill on the Senate floor. Or Dale Ryder, I respected an awful lot. There's a whole host of people I respect a lot. Senator Murphy and I went back and forth against things. All of these people, I Republican Dan Cronin, who I look up to and I admire, just great, decent guy. But the thing is, when you see these speeches, and you hope that people's desire to be able to show the best of what America is comes out in that moment. And so when I listened to Trump's speech, I'm like, this isn't, you know, I'm not hearing what your vision is or anything that's going to capture me. In fact, I'm hearing some things that, in my opinion, that were kind of disrespectful. Now, Rubio's speech, I thought was interesting. I thought it was a well crafted speech, right? But I also thought that it was an interesting choice. I mean, that, you know, I thought he got across what his vision was, but I thought it was an interesting choice. You basically say, look, man, I was in many cases, he was left for dead, and people thought he wasn't really going to make it, right? And I think Iowa gave him new life.
No doubt about it.
I don't think he wasn't given a third place speech. He's like, "Listen, I'm in it, and you got to deal with me." Right? That's the speech he gave, and that was the choice that he made. And then, I'm sorry. What were you going
to
say?
No, we have to run. I would love to get your insight on Ted Cruz, but well, now we'll just have to find out what you think after the New Hampshire primary.
Sounds good. It's good to talk to you. Thank you.
Good to talk to you as well. Thank you for staying up pretty late for us.
Yeah, no
problem. I know we made you stay up some more than I promised. That's Senator Katowski. Go to GoFundMe.com and help with Child Serve. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.